It's 7:03 my time, that's Mountain Time. It's 9:03 Eastern Time. This is the discussion group, and I'm sorry I'm late. I was sitting here discussing something with Jan, so my apologies. This group meets every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's for anybody that wants to jump in and start talking, and you're welcome to talk. Anything that's said here is the responsibility of the person saying it, not the responsibility in LA. So we encourage you to get started early because it always seems to clog up at the end. So please, anyone who wants can take the floor. I am Terry. I live in Colorado, and I will be the moderator. So if I think somebody's being too nasty, I will take the appropriate action. But otherwise, please feel free to jump in anytime you want. The floor is now yours.
I was reading today that the great state of Pennsylvania leads the way in corruption again. When I first moved down here, they had the Abscam trials, where they had people posing as sheikhs, going around trying to get their kids and whatnot into the country. They went over to Jersey and they offered a guy $50K, and he took it and they came over to Pennsylvania and he said, "Well, I do, but I want more than that," you know. And they caught them both. And now they just took out the head of the Democratic Party and seven other of his henchmen on 116 counts. So they're making progress on slowing down some of the chicanery that's been going on. I'm sure New Jersey is much better than New York. They'll probably never catch anybody there. Anybody read whether Ruth Bader Ginsburg is still alive or not?
It's awful quiet. Nobody talking?
We're waiting for you.
Waiting for what? I don't think so.
Yep. Fred, you usually have a comment.
I just want to tell you.
You're blowing my cover. I was lurking.
Oh. Sorry.
Okay, I'll give you a comment. On YouTube, there's a lady called Amazing Polly. Amazing Polly. And she does a comment every couple of days for about 30, 40 minutes. She has a friend in France. And she did a very good coverage of what's going on in France about the Yellow Vest movement. So if you check her out on her YouTube page, check the ones with the yellow vests, and it's about an hour long, and you'll be totally updated on what's going on in France. And there's a big deal there because the French are revolting. It's not about left against right. It's about bottom against top. they've had it with government. And there's a very important point she makes. During World War II, they have lots of plaques all over where the Nazis would grab some people from a town, line them against the wall, and execute them. So they don't really like Germans. And Merkel is attempting to unite the Germans with the French in a military. And it's going to go over like a big lead balloon. Anyway, that's my take. I'll leave it for somebody else.
That's because they've had all these years to look at us and our Constitution and see what we got, and they don't. Well, I'm still working on that Education Challenge 2020.
Good.
This is California Fred again. I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
There are 31,033 counties. The total NLA member is 7,194. Do you realize that's only 2.5 people per county?
Yeah.
I'd like to contest your number of counties. How many did you say?
3,133.
Okay, I'll take that one.
I'll contest the number of membership.
And 7,194 members. How many members per county?
So we need four per county. That means you need to get out there and get some people around your area to join the NLA.
Sir, I'm making a brash observation that Mr. Koresh, John keeps saying, you know, about he's worried about, oh, someday we're going to have what you call participation, lots of people. I'm just making a statement. It's looking bad for the home team. Okay, I'm going to yield and let you think about it.
We're right. It is bad for the home team. You know, the people have been fed. We've been fed this stuff since 1787, okay? Actually, it's been 1773, really. We've been fed this stuff for an awful long time. So we lost our way from generation to generation to generation. Now, all we're doing is we're just going to claim what is rightfully ours that we failed to claim back then. Our ancestors screwed up, so we're going to fix it. And that's all there is to it. That's the way it is. But you can't get these people to accept it or even understand it or care. They're in their own world, you know. The propaganda works. The masses are blue-pilled, and you can't crack them. That's all I know.
Thank you.
any of you watch a YouTube video, do you all make comments on them videos? And do you all make reference to videos that are relevant to the people in the comment section about National Liberty Alliance and going to take this government by consent course? That would help get the word out there to advertise. I mean, I'm trying to sell it for $55. I mean, we can get a $55 off a person right off the rip to take this government by consent course that will raise revenue and will be educating the people too, rather than $5 a month. But it's just a suggestion, you know, we watch these videos that are relevant to liberty and freedom and the corruption. It's a good time to make comments in the comment section about the government by consent course. That's all I got to say. That's what I've been doing.
Comments in the comment section will eventually get you banned and followed.
Well, they follow me all they want. Or I guess, why are they going to ban me? For what? Getting people to go take a civics course? I mean, the Lord didn't give me a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and sound mind. So, I mean, I'm not going to worry about them banning me. Now, they'd probably do me a favor if they did. I'd probably get more done around the yard. Got a real live group here tonight.
I'd hate to
no
see
more
what
talk about the wall.
Sorry, Winthrop, I hit the wrong button.
Well, that's fine. I hung up and I hit the wrong button too.
I'd like to make a comment. This is my opinion, and for what that's worth, the FBI is one of the most disgraceful operations that the 10th Amendment forbids. Why don't we enforce the 10th Amendment? Why don't we write a letter to our sheriff and tell him the 10th Amendment blocks the FBI and they have no authority? Why don't we threaten our sheriffs with hanging if they don't protect our constitutional rights against the rogue FBI? I yield.
We can't get people to be common law grand jury administrators. We're certainly not going to get the masses to go against the sheriff. I mean, really. People don't really understand the history, so they're not understanding what it is and what we're trying to do. They've just been drinking the Kool-Aid for so long that
I disagree. The sheriff knows his constitutional responsibility. He's avoiding it like the plague because he knows it's going to cut off his funding. He knows he'll have to turn around and take over every police department in his county. He's going to have to take their bread and butter away. They will not be able to stop people. They'll have to have a Fourth Amendment warrant through grand jury indictment.
But the only way you're going to do that is by having enough people in the county who know the truth.
That's right. So they strap on guns and they blast anybody that stops them for an unconstitutional warrant. It's the only way you take back your government. And that's what they want, is they want a civil war.
But see, we can do it with the power of a pen.
We
don't
can
have
do,
to do
we
it with
a grand jury if we had enough people with balls. I mean,
but we just need critical mass. We need 16,000 people is all we need.
No, we need 16, more than that.
Well,
start
right,
out.
We do. We need 16,000 in every county.
To start out with, what we need are some people that understand that Bill Clinton and Janet Reno wrote the grand jury instructions. What we need is a group of people to stand up and say, oh, wait a minute, that's a violation of power. We're going to write our own instructions.
Right.
And we're going to go after the grand jury. We're going to start right there. We're going to kick anybody off the bench that we feel violated our constitutional rights. And start with that machine gun law. That machine gun law, it says shall not infringe, doesn't it?
The only way we're going to do that is
Congress
more people
have the
in every
power
county.
To coin. It doesn't say make money, and it doesn't say hand off the responsibility to the Federal Reserve. Use the 10th Amendment, you can take down all these friggin' agencies. What we need is grand juries. We need
right.
to write our own instructions for the grand jury and enforce it with the militia and the military.
The instructions for the grand jury have already been written.
That's right, but by who? By who?
I don't know the author.
That's what you need to
read. But anything.
You're going to find out it was Janet Reno and Bill Clinton that rewrote the grand jury.
That is not the same grand jury that I'm referring to. I'm referring to the common law grand jury, the Article III common law grand jury, the one we were deprived, the one we failed to assume the responsibility of our station back in 1787.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I know what you mean. It's like every court case operates under the rules of civil procedure. Where are the courts that operate under the rules of common law?
But they subverted us in 1871.
We are governed by the consent of the governed.
Well, when you have 38% of the population participating, what do you expect to have?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Government
is by those who participate. Okay? That's the republic. That's the republic. By those who participate. And we only have a 39% participation rate. So it's not no wonder why we are so upside down.
It doesn't matter how many participate. What really matters is how many consent. If we don't consent, they have no power. Get that through your head and rethink what you just said. I'm going to yield.
Well, if you don't vote, what you got to say do you got? I mean, if you didn't vote, you just gave up your right. And even not voting is voting. You're not voting.
You don't have to vote. What you need to do is enforce the 10th Amendment.
By what authority? Not going to be just you. You need people. You need people. And anything you do, you need people. Not two or three people. You need 300 or 400 people. So when you go speak to the sheriff and tell the sheriff, that, you know, put on your big boy pants and we're going to, you know, take our county back, you need 400 or 500 people standing with you. Not 4 or 5. Not 10. Not 15. You need to let the sheriff know that you have the people, and the people have his back. You can't go in there with a handful of people. So it's not just educating a few people. You're right. You got to educate a lot of people. That's why, you know, Educational Challenge 2020, get people to take the government by consent course.
That is exactly why I brought up, before I said too much, that we have 3,133 counties, and we have 7,194 members. That's roughly two people per county.
Yeah. If the number of members is correct.
And that's the number of members, but we're not even talking about people that have taken the courses to be anything like jury administrators or what have you. There might only be 100 of those.
Right.
What I'm getting at is you have made my point. You're saying 200, 300 people. Okay. That's the crux of the matter. What is going
That's
to light
County.
What is going to light a brush fire under people more than the grand jury instructions and telling that judge in the courtroom that we are no longer operating under civil rules of procedure?
Well, actually, there is a piece of legislation out there right now, House number 273, I believe, House Bill 273, Returning American Sovereignty, 2019. It's when Donald Trump spoke to the United Nations and he done told them that we're no longer responsible to your commercial court. And now we're no longer responsible to the United Nations. Okay? See, everything takes time. And he's done said it. He said he's giving the republic back to the people. The problem I see is we're not going to have opportunity to educate the people soon enough to assume their stations in the judiciary. So something between now and then has to light the fire and be the spark to bring us to critical mass to get people to flock to National Liberty Alliance. That's why I was asking, you know, how long would it take and how much money would it take for us to take an influx of 400 people taking a test at one time to 100,000 or 200,000 taking a test at one time. You know, that takes planning and resources. And so I was just putting feelers out and the idea of how much money it's going to cost to do that and to be able to expand rapidly enough to take that quick influx. Because if we're not prepared, we're going to crash our system and it's going to take months to get it back online. By then, it's gone away. We're going to lose the burning sensation to get the knowledge. Once people realize that we've been duped, that they've stolen knowledge from us that's rightfully ours, and if we understand we can claim on animal rights and the powers thereof, because that's where all that power is. It's all in our unalienable rights. And if we don't understand that and know that you know, God gave us liberty, that we're not going to get the whole picture. So there's a lot of things going on at one time, and everything, this can be a rapid change. You know, rapid change. But it's all going to come at one time, and I don't know who's going to say what. I don't know what phrase is going to be said that's going to be a key to the domino effect. You know, JFK was, you know, it's not what the country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. You know, that was a big deal back then. Still is today. But I'm hoping that, you know, an Education Challenge 2020 will get the ball rolling. But do the plan right. The plan's right, it'll work. And if anybody would be interested in working on that with me, they're more than welcome to email me, and I'll be more than happy to share with what I have and what they can do to help. But if not, I'll make sure it happens. I want to kick it off right here in Campbell County in Tennessee. Campbell County in Tennessee was the first county in Tennessee to put up a volunteer army. Company B, 1st Infantry. You know, the first ones to disband when they come home. So I think that'd be a really good place to kick off Education 2020 to take back our rightful place in the judiciary that wasn't afforded us back in 1787. Good piece of history being written there. And the name of the church is Liberty Baptist Church. How about that? Campbell County, Tennessee, has got a lot of history to it. The guy that's named after you, at 15 years old, he volunteered to be a militiaman and be on watch. He got captured by the Indians. The Indians fostered him for 3 years. They took him under his wing and treated him like one of his own. And he learned all the Indians' ways. And after 3 years, he escaped. And then he became one of the Army's leaders and communicators with the Indians. That's who Campbell County's named after. Pretty piece of good history there, too. Pretty remarkable. All right, I'll yield. Has anybody heard if anybody's lost any power because of the cold weather across the country?
Nope, power's still going strong.
That's good news.
Just cold and windy.
That it is cold. Non-global warming they got on us.
Somebody posted a Discord on Discord on one of the boards there. It was a sign out, and it had snow all over it, and it said, "Look, Trump, in only 2 years, has solved global warming."
You gotta love that. Well, is this where we say sayonara for lack of any continued dialogue? We're 35 minutes in.
No, yeah. I was about to come up with a question, but go ahead. Anybody else want to say anything?
Ask your question.
We agree that what the NLA is for, common law, the Constitution, communities of safety, a strong constitutional sheriff, and many other things, is necessary. If we agree that all those things are necessary, and we can't, talk about those things, how can we talk about it to someone else? Go ahead, Jeff. You can ask a different question, go a different direction. North Carolina, I can't hear what you're saying. Well, I thought it would generate a question, but we need to be able to look at everybody's side, and we need to be able to ask the right questions to move people from where they are to where they understand common law and the Constitution. And we got some great resources. The Constitution course is pretty good. Civics course is pretty good. I haven't done enough to say that the consent of the governed course is good. But I think it probably is, based upon what I've seen. So, where are we going? Are we developing the skills we need to talk to other people, even those who disagree with who we are, and find the common ground, and not just dig in our heels and be ready to defend our position? Does anybody know how we can do that? What do you have to learn to be able to talk to somebody who knows nothing about the NLA? So Winthrop's got one idea. Fred has another. And the assumption that I hear, the underlying premise that I hear, and I could be wrong, tell me, is that, well, if they ain't smart enough to see it, then they're not worth getting over. Well, that's kind of defeatist. So how are we going to do that? What questions do you need to ask? I yield the floor.
Ask them what their definition of freedom is.
Well, what do you think they would say?
I have no clue.
Well,
I know what mine is.
Yeah, your definition, I think we all agree with and we all know. But try to think of what they are going to say and do. What are they going to say if you ask them? I think that's a great question. What's your definition of freedom? That's the question, right? What type of answers could they ask? One that could route it right back at you, right, and say, "Well, I don't really have one. I know what freedom is when I see it. But what's your definition?" So that's easy. It gives you an opening, and you can go. And they're there to learn. But what else could they say, Winthrop?
You have to ask permission, you're not free.
So is that what your answer would be if they say, what's your definition?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what their definition of freedom could be. Anything.
Some of them might go to the Bible or to the dictionary.
Yeah, well, we know where God is today and where he was in 1964.
Okay. My question to you is how can you begin a dialogue so that they begin to listen to you?
Oh, I have no problem talking to people about NLA. They don't have to give me much of a window. I don't need much of a window to get in conversation with people about our freedom in NLA, that's for sure.
Is it a conversation or is it another lesson?
There's a little bit of both ways. I leave them with a question. I've been running a lot of people to the government body consent course.
So teach us how to do that.
Well, all you got to do is just know the civics course. I mean, the more you know about how we got where we're at and what the problem is, it's easy to talk to people and tell them what it is. I think the greatest story is about the founding fathers and the committees of safety and the committee of correspondence and what they did. You know, they shadowed the British government until we kicked them out, so we had people prepared to assume their stations. We just didn't have people prepared to assume their station in the judiciary when the Constitution was established, because the judiciary was already there. It was there when the colonies were here back in the 1600s.
You know, everything you said is right, and I think it's wonderful, and I think it's good.
Now, all we're doing now is training people to assume their stations that we failed to assume in 1787. That's all. No big deal.
But you got a lot
what
of
is a big deal?
In there. Are you trying?
Huh?
Are you trying to teach people? There's a lot of concepts in what you're saying. Are you trying to teach people enough to where they're interested, or are you trying to nail them down so that they know what the truth is according to Winthrop?
Well, I'm just explaining to them, what the deal is and where they can go to get this information.
Are they going to want to? Do you get a lot?
Well, some will, some won't, so what? You know, I've handed out 200 books.
Thank you.
And I really tried to screen the people before I gave them a book. You know, they seemed to be really interested and wanted to take the course, the civics course. Now, I can't say if even one of them have taken it, to be honest with you.
Have you ever thought that maybe your approach needs a little modification?
Oh, it could be. It could be. Yeah, it could be my approach. I don't know. certainly have a lot of passion for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got a lot of passion. That shows through in bold colors.
Yeah, well.
And I think that's great. What I'm trying to do is get people to think about, not I'm talking about the people in here. I want everybody on this call to think about how they approach somebody and how they get them interested. Because it is difficult to get somebody interested enough to where they go take the course. When you say, I think that's kind of what you said, isn't it?
Yes, people have to be a patriot. They have to love their country and understand what it is we're fighting for.
They have to.
They don't. Well, one must know the difference in order to make a difference.
Okay, what if they want to know the difference, but they're not quite?
Well, then they got to get educated. I mean, our founding fathers said the only way we're going to have a republic is by having an educated society, citizenry.
How do you?
But the problem is, when keep taking all this knowledge from us and expunging it from our educational system, then how are we supposed to get the knowledge if they ain't teaching it to us? So they subverted us, right?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, we know that.
So how do we take them from where they've been taught?
People have to have a desire. People have to have a desire. You know, how do you tell people not to stop drinking Coca-Cola or Mountain Dew or Pepsi or something?
Well, that brings up a case. How do they do that in ads?
It's a personal desire. You have to strike that chord. You have to strike that chord at the right time in a person's life to where they're going to want to make a difference.
I think that advertisements do that every single day. They try and get an advertisement that strikes a chord. Now, how are you going to, with your words, with your interaction with someone, how are you going to strike a chord?
Save the people to save the republic. If I can't save the people, they're not going to have the knowledge in order to save the republic. You know what I'm saying? We've been blue pill.
But you don't got to convince me. You got to convince the guy that says the republic doesn't need saving. We got a president. I can vote every 4 years, 2 years, whatever it is.
You're working with me on an advertisement campaign for Educational Challenge 2020, correct?
Am I working with you?
Well, it sounds like it to me. You're putting me through the mind here to create, be creative in my thinking, to come up with a slogan to advertise just to, you know, attract people in to want to take the course. I mean, that's what advertisement is. And
you ever read any
Dale
Carnegie?
Huh?
You ever read any Dale Carnegie?
Dale Carnegie. The name sounds familiar, but I can't really put it.
He wrote that famous book that was famous back in the 50s, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Sounds familiar, but
I think we can use that, the wealth of wisdom in that, to start talking to people. I agree, Winthrop, that you've been talking to a lot of people. And you expressed a frustration that nobody that you know has come and taken the course. Maybe it is, maybe they did. I don't know. So
I don't know either.
Are we selling the NLA? We're trying to. I know you
are. Well, I'm trying to sell it for $55.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to put a number to it and not hide anything from the people.
Yeah.
You know, because I got to let them know that there's a detriment, you know. There's a detriment here. And nothing free. But, you know, you come here and spend your $55 and it's going to be the best $55 you ever spent.
Well,
now you get all this power you never knew you had.
Don't advertisers do that same thing? They want to get a buck, get us to spend our dollar?
Yeah.
So how do they do it that's different than what you're doing?
Well, we know sex sells, but I'm not doing any video advertising. I'm doing all my work.
I think that there's a lot of persuasive speech that, I mean, the first thing you do with somebody is you establish a rapport. And then at every step, every time you want to make a point, you want to get them, you want to know that they want to hear the next step. And you want to hear
I have a selective market that I want to target. I want to target patriots, 3%ers, oath keepers.
Yeah.
I have a segment of society that I want to target for a particular reason. Because they're the most critical to know the truth. Because they're the most trained to handle any situation that could arise.
Agreed.
Hey.
So,
I got an idea.
I would like to educate them first. But when the Educational Challenge 2020 is a little bit different, I'm going to put it together to sell it to get the silver coin. Because I'm going to sell silver coins as a fundraiser, but everybody who takes the course and passes the course will get a silver coin. So now they got something for their $55. Not only did they get their knowledge, but now they get an NLA silver coin. So I'm just gathering together the information, talk to mint them and how many to mint and how fast they can mint. And all that. I got lots of questions for that. That's just something else I'm working on.
Hey, I got an idea for you.
What's up?
Okay. Forget about the money for a minute. Think about this. Make a test for them, you know, like a 50-question test, and call it Your Survival Counts on the Right Answer. And just put down, do you drink tap water? Yeah. Well, what about fluoride in the water? Do you have a filter, water filter? You know, do you ever take iodine to get rid of the radiation poisoning that gets into your vital organs? Little things like that. You know, do you eat GMO foods? How can you tell? What are the current standards for food that doesn't have GMOs in it? Do you take vaccines? Are you allowing your kids to take vaccines? Is your kid being taught how to give a blowjob in the fourth grade? You know, questions like that. Anyway, think about it.
So after I get people to take that test and they screw it all up and get, you know, half of them wrong and stuff like that, what am I going to encourage them to do? Come and take my government by consent course?
Well, now you're beginning to think.
To see how lack people know in their knowledge of, you know, general health.
Well, you see, the test will wake them up to maybe they don't know as much as they thought. How can I change things? And that gets you back into the committees of safety. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, that's, you know, I do a lot of really great questions you asked there, and it'd be a really good idea just to have general information to just see how many people know anything about any of that stuff. But I don't think 25% of the population knows anything about any of that stuff. Well, probably less than that. They get to say about 15%. Yeah, we're in sad shape. We're in really sad shape.
Well, okay, you're in a Bible church there. I think you said a Baptist church.
I know
the Baptists are always trying to drown you. You know, are you saved? You've been dunked. You know, all that crap. You know, the Catholics like to sprinkle you. You know. Holy rulers like to get in there and roll down the aisle, talking tongues and all kinds of crap. I mean, I've been down the road, but I'll tell you what, none of them go to church on the Sabbath. They don't even know that Sabbath exists. They go to church on Sunday.
But in a church, what you can do is you can get the kids and have a Bible study group and go back into what I just said about this test and take those kids, and their parents will get involved. I guarantee it. Think about it. I'm out.
So what do I do after we get the results of the test to get them to take my government by consent course to get educated for the grand jury? Because they can't answer those questions there, and they don't know the answers to them, and they're all important to them and their survival. Their survival is not really very important if we don't have liberty.
That's where you start a committee of safety, and the committee of safety forms the grand jury. And the grand jury investigates why you have fluoride in the water. Why are they teaching the kids this and that in our school? You know, baby steps.
Well, I understand. I understand that, you know, everybody lives in a county. And if there's a grand jury in every county, then things will happen. Because all these executives to all these companies live in a county somewhere. So they can't escape. There is no escape unless they don't live in the United States. So, yeah, I understand that.
Okay, but your key here is by setting up your committee of safety, you're doing it under the common law. Now, the common law,
I'll get the committee of safety when I can get people to take the course.
From the committee of safety, you get people aware and involved. And that's where they take the course so they can learn about the grand jury and how to enforce the law. And
people aren't going to grasp the concept of a committee of safety.
Well,
they're not. That to them is a foreign language. Foreign language.
Well, if you were to take government by consent, that's right in there, I believe. It covers the committees of correspondence.
It sure does.
And
you know what's important? The order of operation. Educating people takes an order of operation. You got to give them the fundamentals. You got to give them the basics of understanding so you're not putting the cart before the horse. They're learning information.
You got your little order, your rules of procedure.
That's how I'm looking at it. That's just how I'm looking at it. That's all.
Well, you can be formal and you can keep good records, but I'll tell you what, a tape recorder works pretty damn good too. You can go low tech.
I'm talking about educating people. You have to educate them in an order of operation of, you know.
That's why you want to drag your sheriff in there, and then he becomes the mouthpiece for the law.
Well,
and then you can watch his ass squirm when you start talking about the 10th Amendment. Well, how does this apply? And it says, no, we didn't give any authority. So where are you getting this power from?
Educating the sheriff is going to be done over a cup of coffee or a dinner or something.
Well,
like
how
that.
Can these people from IRS and FBI come in and serve a warrant without you okaying it? This is your county, not theirs. How about sending them packing?
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, the sheriff doesn't know his power.
I did speak to a deputy sheriff one time and asked him that, you know, why is it that if the FBI comes into the county, you guys here relinquish your authority to him? That's our procedure.
Well, now you're talking to a deputy sheriff, which is nothing more than somebody.
I talked his ear off for 30 minutes.
You got to talk to the elected sheriff, is the one who sets down the policy in the county.
I just put bugs in his ear and left seeds to grow of curiosity and ideas to think. And wow,
well,
I just opened his eyes a little bit. That's all.
If you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, what you might want to do is tell whatever kind of cop stopped you for whatever kind of cop shop there might be, or some kind of municipal corporation that has no power to fine or imprison, and tell them you want the elected sheriff there pronto because you haven't got a Fourth Amendment warrant for my arrest.
And you want the sheriff to arrest that cowboy for detaining you and kidnapping you.
Wow.
You have a driver's license, but you're not using it in a commercial capacity. You are traveling as a private citizen.
And you think that sheriff is standing next to you?
What I'm trying to say is you got to get with your local sheriff and put the fear of God into him and tell him, look, asshole, if I get stopped and harassed by these local jerk-offs in blue uniforms, if you're not there when I call to back up my constitutional rights to travel, your ass is going to get sued out of existence.
Well,
you can't play games with these idiots.
I'm not going to put no black marks on my back, you know, unnecessarily, but I've already been stopped for a speeding ticket, and I just wrote a letter to the judge for a judicial notice and explained to him, carte blanche, who I was and what I am and what authority I am and who they are and what authority they are, and they're null and void.
Well, your best bet with
I went and stood in front of the judge.
After you sign the ticket, what you do is within 3 days, you send a resignation of signature back to the people that you wrote that signature on the ticket. I do not consent to your corporate proceedings, and that's it. You're out.
My signature on my driver's license is all rights reserved. That's my signature on my driver's license. And on my application at the DMV, on there, I have all my rights reserved, Article UCC 1-308. So I just subpoenaed those records there. But to get out of that, though, all they do is get a bond. All you do is go in there and claim the bond and set it off.
Well, 1-308 is the Uniform Commercial.
All rights reserved without prejudice, and I'm traveling. I'm not operating on this highway commercially. So the laws on this highway don't apply to me.
1-308 is the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, and it says the common law applies. That's what it says.
Well, you have to understand where the UCC came from and, you know, how long have we had a driver's license. I mean, we had a driver's license since 1901, but we didn't have to take a test until 1946. See, first they had to get the people to accept the fact that we're going to license you. See, have to ask permission to do something. That's not freedom. See, one bite at a time. They had to get us used to it. It took us, you know, 45, 46 years to swallow this stuff before they said, well, now you're going to have to take a test. See, they got two generations away from us, two 20-year cycles away from the knowledge being passed down to slap on another piece of fraud on them. So when you know the fraud, you point the fraud out, they're going to let you go. As simple as that.
You mean like the license to practice law?
Well, you don't need to be licensed to practice law.
Well, they
but you bet the bottom dollar that that prosecutor over there, the prosecutor is bonded. He's also a foreign agent. And the sheriff and the deputy that wrote the ticket, the citation, he's going to be bonded. You can set off. You can claim on both. You can file claims on both their bonds and set yours off and walk out of court with money if you know what you're doing.
I would like to offer another course of action.
Okay.
Here we are. You guys all agree that we need to get something done here, and we need to influence the people. We aren't going to influence anybody but digging in their heels and telling them how hard it is and what they got to do. We got to see it from their side. What does it take to convince somebody? I appreciate everyone's participation tonight. It's been about an hour, and I want to say thank you because you all had very good ideas. Think about what I said. See if you can't come up with things that you could say to people so that you look at it from their side and try and win them over that they want to hear the message that you want to give. It's just plain and simple. That's all it is. Can you do that? Some of you will, and some of you can, and some of you won't. And that's just the way it is. So,
yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It's easier to trigger them than it is to try and understand them.
That's right. And I'm saying that you got to understand them before you go. So, anyway, I got to, it's been an hour. And so I want to say thank everybody for participating tonight. The views expressed are those of the people who express them, not necessarily the NLA. The NLA only provides a forum for this conference call. And we're glad that everybody comes every week and begins to talk. And we want you to come back next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have the next discussion group call. But for now, I'm going to turn off the recording, and this is it for 31 January.